this scripture today is Romans 12, 9 through 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Thanks be to God for the gift of the scripture.
Hey, thanks, Audrey. It was just so very, very, very well done. I really appreciate it. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms. There's rarely been a year when I can imagine that people could be any more grateful for moms than this year. I was on a Zoom call with a mom the other day who is a pastor. It was a meeting. And she's a friend, and she kept, during the Zoom call, she has two small children, and during the Zoom call, you could just sort of see her pause and look over and go like this, you know, and give the thumbs up, and then sometimes do like this. And I could tell that she was moving. All of her spaces were doing this. And she was just balancing that beautifully. And in the chat box, I said, how are you doing over there with everything? And she typed back, I'm digging deep right now. And I bet a lot of moms are digging deep. I bet a lot of moms. You're balancing so many things. You're trying to do school. You're trying to keep your family sort of happy in a quarantine. Kids can't be with their friends. I mean, we all know the list. I just want you to know you're appreciated for the list. You're appreciated in the midst of everything you're doing. And I know it's not easy. I hope that you're giving yourself what I talked about last week, some self-compassion, that knowledge that you just don't have to be perfect, and let that inform the love you have for your family and for your kids. Once you sort of ease off that feeling of perfectionism, it'll allow you just to bring out your best self and call the best out of others. It's not easy, but hey, you're a mom. That's sort of a superhero role from the very beginning. So anyway, thanks for that. I wonder if you bow with your heads with me and join me in a word of prayer and pray for me and with me as I begin this message, because I'm hoping this is a message that's going to be helpful to moms and to dads and everybody else. So if you'd bow your heads. Lord, thank you for this time. I want to pray that whenever people see this, whether it's live right now or whether it's later in the week, and no matter where they watch from, we have people watching from different parts of the world. I pray that this message will be a blessing, and I pray that you will speak through it. I'm not so much worried about my words. I'm far more concerned about the movement of the Holy Spirit and the way that you can reach out and touch people and open their minds and hearts to a message you want them to hear. Thank you for the inspirations you've given for this time, and I pray that all will be done in keeping with your desire. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it is, as I said, Mother's Day, and I think what most moms want for their kids is just that they would enjoy life. I think moms always want kids to have a good life, a great life. When I was a child, I was one of those people that had a great life. I didn't know it then. You know, you never know it then. You know it later. In fact, many years later. But I did. I had a good home. I was safe. I had friends. There were great meals. There was laughter. There was joy. There were vacations. It was just a great life. And yet, I remember as a child, I remember it vividly, I could be discontent for so many reasons. It was just remarkable when I look back on it now. I was discontent sometimes when I didn't have the book I wanted to read, or when I couldn't watch the TV, or when I had to do my homework. I was discontent sometimes when my brother got a gift that I didn't receive. And I remember just being really pouty and frustrating. And never mind that it was his birthday. Never mind that. I was still really irritated that he got a gift and I didn't. I was discontent if it was too hot and discontent if it was too cold. Many reasons to complain to my mom about many situations. And one of the best gifts my mother gave me, was the knowledge that there is something beyond your circumstances, that you can't let your circumstances control whether you find what the Bible calls joy, joy in life. And here's what she knew. Happiness was elusive. She also knew that there were much harder things in life than I was going to experience, and she had to equip me for that. She had to prepare me for what I was going to experience as I got older and entered what we often call real life. Now, the life I had as a child was a real life, but it wasn't dependent on me. I was the dependent. And what she did really well was to prepare me for that time when it would depend on me and to find joy in all circumstances. Recently, a while back, Bob Dylan was interviewed by AARP magazine. I know that makes me sad too, right? I mean, I remember when Dylan was on the Rolling Stone, but he was interviewed by AARP. If you're feeling a little bit old today, I'm right in there with you. And what he talked about was he talked about his music, but he also talked about this question of happiness. And Bob Dylan says, when asked if he had ever touched and held happiness, that was the question. Have you ever touched and held happiness? I thought that was an interesting way to put it. Dylan replied, "We all do at certain points, but it's like water. It slips through your hands. As long as there's suffering," he said, "you can only be so happy." How can a person be happy if they have misfortune? I wish Bob Dylan's mom would have taught him what my mom taught me. And I'm not saying that with any superiority. But my mom taught me there's going to be misfortune. And you've got to figure out how you're going to find joy in the midst of that. Now, I think that my mom had an advantage. She read the Bible. And she had read the words of the scripture, and my mother and my father raised us in the church. And they didn't just go to church, they wanted us to have the Christian life. And part of that life was thinking about how to have a joy that transcends your circumstances. And during this pandemic, friends, that is an incredibly important thing to be talking about. And if you want to tell if you want to tell your family something good, or if you want to tell your family something good, I'm sorry, if you want to tell yourself something good, if you're somebody who's alone and, you know, you're spending your days primarily alone, the good thing I encourage you to tell yourself is that your faith in Christ is a resource at all times and in all places and in all circumstances. And the Apostle Paul really helped us understand that because his life was rough. I mean, it was really rough. He had chronic health condition, which he called a thorn in my flesh. And he said, "I've prayed about it for years, and God's never delivered me from this thorn in my flesh." We don't really know what it was. But we do know that Paul had a really hard life because he's also persecuted for his faith. I can just imagine the Apostle Paul traveling to his home where he grew up, and sitting down with his mom, and him looking at his mom saying, "Mom, I'm just not very happy." And his mom saying, well, honey, what happened? What happened to you?" And he said, "Well, you know, I was beaten. I was thrown out of town. I was put in jail. I was flogged. I was pelted with rocks by a crowd. I was shipwrecked. I was bit by a snake. I was derided and injured because of my faith in Christ." I don't think Paul ever got even to talk to his mom about all that. I think he just had to endure it. And I think he was equipped to endure it because of his faith in Christ. Paul never talks in the Bible about how to be happy. He just didn't. He didn't talk about here's the formula for happiness. But he did write about something better, which is joy. And joy is that quality we can experience that transcends all things. And that's why he wrote, and you heard it read today, Baldry, "Be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, and be faithful in prayer." Paul knew the difference between happiness and joy. The quality that he calls us to experience is joy, and he knew that happiness was deeply dependent on circumstances that you can't control. Happiness is dependent on everything from the weather to the stock market, and even circumstances which we can control, but which we often don't control very well. So let me tell you about something good. Joy is not dependent on your circumstances. And joy doesn't require you to nail it every single day and get it right every single day. Joy is found in a deeply integrated relationship with Jesus Christ. And that deep integration is what's really important. It can't be a thing you do one day a week or 1 hour a week. It has to be something that is just a part of you. Paul references his relationship to Christ when he opens up this section in verse 9, and he says this. He says, love must be sincere. Now, just take a look at that for a moment. Love must be sincere. And what did he mean by that? Well, we've all seen what a sincere love looks like. And again, it's Mother's Day, so let's just stay there for a moment. I have watched mothers watching their children on playgrounds with the biggest smile on their face. And it's amazing that these mothers are sometimes out in the heat or in a mild rain, but they're happy, not because of their circumstances, not because this is like, wow, this is the most interesting thing I can think of. They're happy because their children are happy. Better stated, they're joyful because their children are happy in that moment. I've seen mothers sitting in stands at athletic events for high school students and middle school students. I've seen them tenderly care for a child in an ICU when everything was up in the air. And I've seen that love is sincere. I've seen mothers laugh with their child as a child talks to them. I've seen mothers look at a baby inside of a crib and there's a mobile up above the child and the child is sort of cooing and talking and making noises as it spins above them. And as the child raises their hand to reach up to that, there's just this delight on the face of a mother. That's what a sincere love looks like. I've seen the anguish of a mother trying to afford a van with a wheelchair lift for a daughter in a wheelchair. And I've seen the joy on the face of a mother whose daughter was safely placed inside that van for the first time and every time, knowing that her daughter is going to be safe. This love of Christ that Paul talks to us about when he says love must be sincere is a love that is sacrificial, it's a love that's joyful, and it's a love that's persistent. And I've seen so many mothers whose love of Christ, hear that, whose love of Christ enabled them to live out these words, love must be sincere. And the problem that many moms have and that many dads have and that many people have is we've got these days when we just feel like we've run out of it. You know, it's like the Clorox wipes. Eventually you run out. But what Paul's telling us is that this love that must be sincere is not only the love that we're called to show others, it's the love that we have for Christ and that Christ has for us. So this integrated relationship with Christ becomes the wellspring from which we draw, and it's a spring that keeps refilling. And so we draw that love from Christ, and then we have our love for Christ, and from that pool, we draw out love, which we then extend to others. And friends, sometimes people don't love very well. And I've talked to people who really struggle to love their children well. And some of those folks have no relationship with Christ whatsoever. And what I know is I can give them many books on how to be a better parent, maybe, but there is a wellspring that I want to hand them and I want to point them to, and I do point them to say the love that we experience from God, the grace we experience from God, the forgiveness we experience from God, the assurance that if we die, we'll have eternal life. Like that love, the love that Jesus showed you and me on a cross, sacrificial love, is the love that we draw from when we're trying to love the people around us. And I really don't know how you do it consistently without that. Somebody may, but I've never seen anybody do it really, really well. And so that's why I'm calling you to really think about your relationship with Christ today. Because this faith in Christ is a source of the joy and the love that flows from our wonder of God's love and God's mercy. And not only that, once you have that relationship with God and you develop it and integrate it, it just makes you so grateful. Part of the joy is that you become so grateful for almost everything. You become joyful for the world, for the creation itself, the world in which we live. You become joyful about nature. You want to care for things rather than destroy them. And so Paul says to us, be joyful in hope. And the hope is our hope in Christ and our hope in the love of God that God has for us. I was reading author Peggy Noonan. And Peggy Noonan writes this in her book called John Paul the Great. And I'm just going to read you a short excerpt. And this is after Peggy Noonan became a Christian. She reflected on that experience and the joy that made her more loving and reverent of everything around her. She writes, "Here's something I began to feel after I had faith. The unexpected joy of living things. At some point, living things began to seem precious to me, and I wanted to pet them and hug them." Hey, you're having that experience right now, aren't you? Right? Like that desire to hug something, hold on to something, that appreciation for the living things around you. She continues. She says, pet them, hug them. "Babies and dogs and lizards, whatever. For me, the great fruit of belief is joy. There is a God, there is a purpose, there is a meaning to things. There are realities we cannot guess at. There is a big peace, and you are a part of it. God is good. Near Him is where you want to be. There is something called everlasting joy, and St. Paul, a fiercely imperfect man who was also a great man, was granted visions of it. And that great user of words was floored by it and said, no one can imagine how wonderful it is. The human imagination cannot encompass it. Such joy, which transcends circumstances, and that's what you want to teach your children, that there's a joy that transcends your circumstances, allows us to be, in Paul's words, you ready? This is very high tech. Are you ready for it? It enables us to be patient in affliction. Now tell me that's not a lesson that needs to be in all of our homes right now. No matter what age you are, no matter who you are, no matter what your responsibilities are. Paul says that if we're joyful in hope, we can be patient in affliction. And that's going to be really important because what my mom taught me is that there would be hard times in life. And you have to know, you have to become a master of your own life and your own emotions, and your own worldview. You have to learn how to be patient in affliction, and it's a hard lesson for mature people. But of course, that's what faith does, is it matures us. How do we do that? Well, again, we have to have an integrated faith in Christ that touches every aspect of our life. And I'll tell you, when our hope is in Christ, Christians have this experience where we get swept up in a way of being and seeing the world that helps us find joy that is essential to us right now. Author Mark Judge wrote about a concert he attended in 2008, and this article was found in a publication, but it would happen right up at the Strathmore Center, right in our area. He said that there were musicians and dancers from all around the globe. It was a big program, and the singers came out, and the dancers came out, and he said it was really a fabulous program. But after almost 3 hours, it was an awards ceremony of sorts. And he said after almost 3 hours, it was time for the curtain call, one last bow to the end of the evening. And he said the host reintroduced everybody who had been there, and there was a featured jazz band, and it began to play When the Saints Go Marching In. And then, he said, something totally unplanned happened. He said the audience at the Strathmore rose to its feet to acknowledge the winners of the awards that had been given out in between the acts. And it seemed at that time like one last blast of applause before the exit. But as they began to applaud, they started getting in sync with when the saints go marching in. And when that happened, the performers, all the different performers without planning this, began to dance. And the jazz band, sensing that something was really happening, that something was in the air, got louder, and they kept playing and playing and playing. And on stage, the performers formed a conga line. And so pretty soon, there's this whole big conga line. And then they formed a circle, and each time they opened it up so the audience could see it, but the different dances and performers would step into the middle of the circle and they'd do their thing. They'd play their instrument or they would dance their dance. And then they'd step out and other people. And he said, the invisible line between the performance and the audience evaporated. It turned into one big party or maybe a revival meeting. An author, he writes this. He said, author Stephen Mitchell once described a holy joy so large that it is no longer inside of you, but you are inside of it. Now, I want you to hear that again. Mitchell said, there is a holy joy so large, it's no longer inside of you. So often that's the way we talk about our faith, isn't it? That, I want to get the joy into me. But he says, no, there's this joy that you step into, and you're inside that joy. And he writes, again, this is back to the article that Judge wrote. He said, no one wanted to leave that night. I honestly believe the band could have played for another hour, and no one would have moved toward the exits. Staggering outside, I heard one woman say that she was swimming in joy. I myself was speechless, he writes, like everyone else. I just wanted to stay inside the joy. Friends, can I ask you a really serious question in the middle of this pandemic? How's your relationship with Christ? How's that doing? Have you stepped inside the joy of the Lord? That's a phrase the Bible uses. It's in Nehemiah, actually. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm not asking you about your circumstances. I have a sense of those. I don't know all of them, but I know many of them. I'm asking you about your relationship with the Lord. Are you joyful in the hope of Christ in your life? Are you joyful in your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, the assurance of eternal life? Do you have gratitude to God for the simple gifts of grace in all their many forms? Are you appreciative of the people that are around you? Or have you gotten to that place in quarantine where it's just like pick, pick, pick? See, there's a joy that's transcendent, and it's above our circumstances, but it allows us to lift up and enter into a space of greater understanding of God's goodness and the goodness of our very lives and the goodness of the people around us. And once we get into that place, we are so much better equipped to share a love that is sincere. Have you asked Jesus to come to you in prayer? Because that's that last piece. Paul says that love must be sincere. And he says, be joyful in hope and be patient in affliction. And I know you may be saying, like, Tom, how? Like, this thing's been 7 weeks long, however long it's been now. And Paul gives you the key at the very end. He says, be faithful in prayer. Again, can I just ask you a question for your own self-assessment? I've got to ask this to me too. In your life, are you faithful in prayer? Because what it's really interesting, love must be sincere, that's verse 9. Verse 12, be joyful in hope. And we're all like, yeah, I want to do that. Be patient in affliction. I'd like to do that. But then Paul says, be faithful in prayer. And I don't know about you, but I really have to make that time. I have to program that. I have to think about that time if it's going to happen. During this time of pandemic, I strongly encourage you to develop your prayer life. You can do this in so many ways within the Christian tradition. It is not one size fits all. You can keep a journal where you write your prayer each day, and it might be that long, But that could be really helpful. You can meditate. That's in the Christian tradition. You can find silence. You can pray a psalm or a piece of other scripture. You can open the psalm and read it out loud. Make that your prayer if you're having a hard time praying. You can find some way to set aside, just at the beginning, maybe 5 minutes. But those of you who have a richer prayer life, longer. We are doing prayer now for Florist. There's a group that is praying morning and also evening. You could join that group. If you're not sure how, send me an email. I'll connect you. Yoon Nam is one of the leaders, along with Cynthia Lipinski, who's a member of our church. You could email them and say, get me into that prayer group. Why? Because meeting with others would bring you the discipline. And Paul says that that's the key to beginning this life where we are patient in affliction and joyful in hope. Now, friends, it's your habits. It's your habits over time that make all the difference. And that's true of anybody, anywhere. Some of you may remember the Olympic commercial from Ameritrade way back in 2009. Louis Vito was the first place snowboarder that year. And they ran these fantastic ads, and I remembered that this past week. And I just want to show you, this is an ad that details his life, and it starts at the success. But what I want you to notice is everything that went into his life from the time he was this big that got him to the place where he was so capable as an adult. And you have to believe his family built around him a way for all that to happen. Take a look. Behind every big moment are lots of little ones. Hey, Mom, are you preparing your child for the big moment that's ahead? Are you getting him ready for the time when circumstances simply cannot dictate joy because you won't be there to make all the circumstances just right? Dads have to do that. But you know what? Those of you who don't have any kids around, those of you who are single, all of us, we're all in the same boat on this thing. If we are persistent in our life in Christ, through prayer, through acts of mercy and justice, through the goodness of our faith, we find that we can be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, persistent in prayer. Paul's big moments of joy in times of affliction arose out of lots of small moments done during that time and in all the years prior, where he solidified his trust in God and he integrated his faith with his life so that when he finally met Jesus, all was well. In the 3rd century, there was a man named Cyprian who was anticipating his death, and he wrote these words to a friend. He said, "It's a bad world, Donatus," that he was writing to this friend, Donatus, "an incredibly bad world, but I've discovered in the midst of it a quiet and good people who have learned the great secret of life. They have found a joy and a wisdom that are 1,000 times better than the pleasures of a sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They've overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are Christians, and I am one of them. And they found a joy and a wisdom which is 1,000 times better than any pleasures." I love the phrase, "they are masters of their soul." Are you a master of your own soul? Or do you let your circumstances dictate your happiness? I want you to find a joy in the Lord. That's something really good, I can tell you. Now, this week our band got together, and they put together a song for this time about the joy that's in your heart. Friends, I want you to have a joy in your heart, but I want you to also step into a circle of joy. But when you watch this video, I think that's exactly what they've done. Take a look. Thank you. Don't you miss the band and the choir and the handbells and everything? Don't you just miss it all so much? Friends, I really appreciate what the band just offered to us, and the fact that a guinea pig made the song actually made my day. I hope it did yours too. I want to give you a benediction, and then I want to invite you to stay just a little bit longer. After this benediction, last week some friends of ours in the church sent us a video link, and that's what I want to show you. They're from the UK, and they attend Floris. It's the Huttons, Andrew and Catherine Hutton. And it really meant the world to Catherine that her son, who is in England right now while they're here, sent her this video. And it's a video compilation. It's a musical video compilation from churches in the UK that all work together to create this really beautiful benediction. And I especially wanted to use it today because I think it could be what I want you to experience as it's a blessing for us all. And I experience that as a man who, when I watch it. But what I want you to do if you're a mom is I want you to hear it through your mom ears. And I want you to hear the Lord speaking to you. And blessing you. Because you're really working hard. You're really giving your best. And I've talked to so many mothers who have said it's tough, you know? But they're doing it. They're getting up every day and they're doing it with joy. And I think if you'll watch this, I think God is going to give you a message that you're going to find to be a blessing. I know my wife did, and our kids are grown, but it was just such a blessing, and it was to me too. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord's countenance be lifted up upon you. And may the Lord give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive this blessing.